Hello, everybody. Welcome to what will be possibly the maddest cow daily, well, at least so far. Some of these videos, clips, and just general bits of content that we've pulled together in the last 48 hours, which is, I wouldn't even say arguably, is the maddest 48 hours I can think of in British politics. That, at least in my lifetime, that I can think of, and God knows there's some 48-hour periods which can rival that. What an absolute... just a clown car, isn't it? I mean, we didn't record yesterday, right? And it would have probably been a good idea for, like, for views and all that shit. But we said when we started doing this, and we said we'd commit to doing this, like, properly, that... we wouldn't put shit out. And it literally would have just been like hanging out on the stream going, no idea. Do you know? Haven't got a clue. What are they doing? But what we're going to do is we're going to go through some kind of timeline of the last 48 hours and try and pull a lot of this shit together, because this is crazy, but I'm loving it. Also, before we do, if you'd like to comment, rate, and subscribe, we're doing Canny, and quite ironically, as we can see here, oh man, the StreamYard. There we go. We were quite close to the Boris podcast in the charts a few days ago. Obviously, Westminster are there in Week in Westminster. And with your support, we can continue to do that. And the new target is the Boris podcast. Fuck the CIA, we're on this now. Also, let me know you're about and all that. It'd be good to see who's in. And yeah, man, I'm really, just seriously though, can you get your head around this? We've tried for you anyway. We've tried. So if you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. Also, there's a link in the description for PayPal if you'd like to make a one-off donation to our work. Cheers, dudes. Also, if you're watching this anywhere other than YouTube, please go to youtube.com/cowdaily. That's youtube.com/cowdaily. Help to get the channel monetized. We're flying up in that score. So hopefully we can get this done before Christmas or earlier. That would be top. So if you'd watch, we're there. And then obviously leave a nice comment on the video when it gets uploaded with the thumbnail. That would be absolutely tremendous. Watch out for our social media. It'll be on there. Nice one. Shall we get started? I'm loving this. So a bit of scene setting. Who remembers this, when the Times tried to dress her up as some kind of, like, well, they even said the Iron Lady 2.0, Thatcher 2.0. It says here, she wears bold block dresses, telephone box red, electric blue, vicious mustard. They are not so much colours as statements of intent. Look at me, the next Mrs. T. That wasn't that long ago. When they launched this, you just knew they were trying to launch this idiot. Because that's what she is. I mean, how on earth she's failed upwards this heavy, all the way up to being prime minister and still being eligible for 115k allowance every year after 44 days in the job. Really, 14 days in the job. Because when the Queen died, oh, maybe she killed her, allegedly. when the Queen died, she had like a pass out for during the morning period, so nothing was getting done. And just from a like our perspective in terms of trying to like pay bills and shit like that, they messed around for 2 to 3 months electing her. She was I can't remember how many days, but it was considerably less amount of days in the job than it was trying to get the bloody job. Absolutely unbelievable. And what's happened since then has just been absolutely brilliant. There's nothing better. Well, maybe there's still nothing better than watching the Tories absolutely fall apart. They have ruined this country, ruined it, aided and abetted by others, and we'll come to them right at the end. But this is beautiful, because they've traded on this like air of competency, and quite often they do that by putting people with plummy accents in positions where they just fail upwards, but they'll toe the party line. And for whatever reason, received pronunciation in terms of the British population's mind must have some genetic sort of frequency, which speaks to generations of being lickspittles under a king or a queen, because people are just like, yeah, I love it all. It's fine. All of this is fine. It's not fine. Also, just like a little reminder, this was Alistair Heath, and some of the commentary out have had a mare here, like, Kwasi Kwarteng's budget is a moment in history that will radically transform Britain. With one move, Britain's competitiveness, its investor friendliness, and its attractiveness to top talent has been hugely amplified. Aye, nice one, Alistair. You've played a blinder. Stealing a living there. Or maybe you're not. Maybe that's what you were told to say that day. Who's this? It's Jeremy Hunt speaking on behalf of Liz Truss. And the caption by some cheeky scamp says, when humiliation is your kink. And here's a picture of Liz Truss wearing a necklace for no reason. But a reason that would become clear if you saw Alice's piece on Cow Daily 2 weeks ago. Just saying, go and watch it or listen to it. Brilliant all this, isn't it? Fantastic. Cock a hoop me, like, love it. Down with the Tories and that, but like, obviously what we're going to put in the place. We'll talk about that later. We'll have a word. But in the meantime, I just want to go through some of the... it's the best of Tory meltdowns, I feel. There's a top two, and then there's some other just mad stuff you thought you would never see. And there's so much stuff that just wouldn't have made it in because this stream would have been like 7 hours long. This is brilliant. But this is Charles Walker MP, and this was the night before Liz Truss resigned.
To be perfectly honest, this whole affair is inexcusable. It is a pitiful reflection on the Conservative Parliamentary Party at every level. And it reflects really badly, obviously, on the government of the day.
Do you think there's any coming back from this?
I don't think so. But I haven't. I have to say I've been of that view really since two weeks ago. This is an absolute disgrace. As a Tory MP of 17 years, who's never been a minister, who's got on with it loyally most of the time, I think it's a shambles and a disgrace. I think it is utterly appalling.
So you seem quietly...
I'm livid. And, you know, I really shouldn't say this, but I hope all those people that put Liz Truss in number 10, I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it for the ministerial red box. I hope it was worth it to sit round the cabinet table, because the damage they have done to our party is extraordinary.
I'm sorry, it's very difficult to convey. You look just furious about this.
I am. I've had enough. I've had enough of talentless people putting their tick in the right box, not because it's in the national interest, but because it's in their own personal interest to achieve ministerial position. And I know I speak for hundreds of backbenchers who right now are worrying for their constituents all the time, but now worrying about their own personal circumstances, because there is nothing as an ex-MP. And a lot of my colleagues are wondering, as many of their constituents are wondering, how they're going to pay their mortgages if this all comes to an end soon.
What do you do next? How do you move on from this?
Well, I'm leaving Parliament at the next general election, and I'm leaving voluntarily. But unless we get our act together and behave like grown-ups, I'm afraid many hundreds of my colleagues, perhaps 200, will be leaving at the behest of their electorate. So that's really pretty much all I've got to say. Patience reached the limit.
And you're probably not the only one.
I'm not.
What an absolute belter. I think it's class. And also it's like, it's a manifestation of this thing in like liberal thinking about the good Tory. Like he was the good Tory for 24 hours. Go and check out Charles Walker MP's voting record before you start good Tory and every fucker left and right. Also, noticeably within that, he was like, oh, you know, people are really worried about their constituencies, and now they're really worried about themselves and their jobs. It's nothing like an ex-MP and blah, blah, blah. Really, what you're bothered about is your colleagues and their jobs being lost. Because if you were that bothered about your constituents and whatever, you wouldn't have been propping up and supporting these governments, and you wouldn't be speaking out when it's safe to speak out. These people, like, that can perform this stuff all they want. And yeah, he was genuinely livid and blah, blah, blah. But it's about the party. They'll put the party before country while saying they'll put the country first. And as we've seen, like every time they've been in power, certainly the last 12 years, they've destroyed the country, destroyed it. Anyway, here's the hipster's choice, right? The overlooked one, the one that didn't go viral. But this is Tobias Elwood on Ghoul Channel Talk TV, and this is beautiful.
I'm being inundated by messages. Elwood showing his disdain for party members. What a surprise, and showing it's all about being in power, not the
good
of the...
That's ridiculous. Let me just finish.
This is what your members are saying. Listening to Elwood, he seems more interested in winning the next election, not putting the country right. Typical self-interest. And this one says, I am here sitting with my jaw on the floor. I cannot believe the arrogance of the man. How dare he thinks he knows better than us. These are your members. You are alienating your own voters.
No, there are some of my members which have chosen to get in touch with you. I can assure you that MPs are very much in touch with their own membership and are absolutely flabbergasted of where we've gone. I'm afraid, I understand people being agitated, but agree to disagree. You know, indeed. To call me deluded and so forth, I mean, to get personal, that actually shows and illustrates to the nation that we can't agree to disagree. We need to be understanding and recognize, look where we are in the polls. You indeed. Want to continue on this trajectory, or do you want to grip the situation? We win when we show that we are centrist, that we are a moderate party, able to represent the entirety of Britain. When we go to a wing, which I'm afraid will not, you know, be liked by your by the people who listen to your program, then I'm afraid we lose.
Please do. Or don't. I don't know. I don't know what I want to happen in the general election, but we'll come to that later. What an absolute belter. Melting it down, Tobias. Melting it down. And this is a beautiful thing. We can enjoy these things. We can glory in them. These are the people who have put hundreds of pounds on people's mortgages, hundreds of pounds on bills, and, like, wrecked the country by pulling out of the European Union without any kind of forward plan. Why was that? I mean... There's a adage around where I'm from. It'll all come out in the wash. This will come out over time, what actually went on. And I'm sure we all have what doubts about the integrity of elections and things of that nature. And again, little point on that later too. Oh, honestly, I love this. Do you love it? Let's find out. Here's some comments. Who have we got in the house? Ruth Davidson's in the house. Are you the Ruth Davidson, who's the Scottish Tory? I don't know. Only someone British understands how furious he is in this clip. Up to a point, I hear what you're saying. Only somebody British does, because it's that like sort of like... we should clarify this. Only some English people do, because like quite a lot of the sort of genteel element of it, a lot of people I know would be swearing their fucking face off and going mad. Losing it. Like, a lot of people misconstrue that Britain has the same culture. In the northeast of England, we're very different to people in the parts of the south, and certainly different to a lot of people in London, but not different to people within estates. And then within the northeast of England, there's other areas. So it comes down under class lines, quite a lot of it. And quite often... and you can see this, it's that sort of middle class sort of like body language and what they're not saying. And people from outside of Britain just quite often do not get it at all. David Livingston's in, hello, mate. Tory not worried about the country, only about his job. Spot on, man. Joanne G, to the streets, I'm raging this morning. I wouldn't like to be anywhere near any wheelie bins where you're living at the minute. Jacqueline's in. Hello, Jacqueline. Whilst they're arsing around with another leadership contest, people who are suffering in poverty are once again being ignored. All those bastards care about is themselves and their super rich donors. Absolutely bang on. Barbara Griffiths in the house. Nice to see you. I commented that it had taken him long enough. Never trust a Tory. In it, mate. Ruth Davidson, can confirm, not the Scottish Tory. Nice one. It would have been a bit of a mad, wild old trip conducive for the last 48 hours if she'd tuned into this. Robert Grady's in the house. What's he saying? I'm Welsh and European. Spot on, pal. absolutely belted, and that's things to be proud of for you. Right, what we got next for you? There's so much to get through here. Fucking honestly, I was starting working on this at 6 a.m. but why not, eh? Get it all in. Right, what we got here? Boris Johnson himself. Just a little plug. I decided the day before this kicked off, because I could smell it in the wind, to put together this podcast, which you can find on all platforms. If you can watch it on YouTube, that will be utterly tremendous and help with the watch hours. Is Boris Johnson the next Prime Minister? I'd been saying this for a couple of months, since he left, really, that he was going to come back. And people were like megging us off about it. And I just thought, you know, get ahead of it. I'll state my case for it. So if you want a deeper dive into it, just go and watch that. Cool, because it'll save this podcast being 27 hours long. Other stuff people are saying about Boris Johnson, it's important to remind ourselves about Kate Yates, who was a prominent figure during lockdowns, etc., regarding COVID, says, quite apart from all the other stuff, can we just remember that Boris Johnson oversaw the UK's COVID response, which saw over 200,000 citizens die, many of them unnecessarily. For this alone, I can never forgive him. Same, mate. Same. The Ukraine government account, never want to miss a fucking trick, post this meme, Better Call Boris, where Boris Johnson's mask coming off, and it's a reference to Better Call Saul. Oh, just fuck off, will you? Mail Online, chicken Tory masala, shock curry fan, spots the face of former Prime Minister Boris Johnson in his coma. That's why he's coming back. Like, food talks to her and food tells her what's next. And quite honestly, forget watching that podcast I produced with lots of evidence. This is the root cause of why I thought it was going to happen, honestly. Jacob Rees-Mogg, understandably, I'm backing Boris. A hashtag to watch out for. And they've condensed what I was looking at last night. I stayed up about 1-2 o'clock just seeing what the messaging is, because it tends to like form up around about that time and then comes out. So 9:18 this morning, hashtag Boris or bust. The narrative behind that is the sort of going around the Tory MPs and the people who can actually get Boris Johnson past the 100 threshold he needs. I'll give you some detail on that later. The attack line they're using to get people around to their way of thinking is, you know, Boris is the only person who can turn around this deficit in the polls and possibly win the election. Otherwise, you're going to lose your seat. And do you know what it is? For once, they're not lying. People misconstrue, and yes, he is a fucking clown, right? But he's also a talented Machiavellian operator. And people need to understand that he is an intelligent person. All of it's just a work. It's an act. It's like, you know, in the wrestling when they have a character, but then you see them get interviewed by a fan and they're just like a different person. It's a bit like that. They're running this WWE playbook and that's your crack. The public lap that shit up. To quote the great Nick Diaz, they'd be selling you Wolf tickets and you're beating them right up. Shouts to all UFC and martial arts fans everywhere. So there you go, hashtag Boris or bust. We'll be seeing that. You'll be no stranger to that. Memes flying around. Everyone who hates Tories, and then Tories fighting. The top and bottom of it is, we love this, man. It's just like, let's glory in the schadenfreude of watching them implode. But also, don't get it twisted. They will do any kind of outrage they possibly can to meet their agenda. So they will do that. I mean, they've gaslighted the population for years. They've got the talk TVs and the GB Newses and whatever behind Johnson's faction. And those are like powerful things to call upon. It's calling upon, like, if you don't get them back in, then Brexit's stuffed. And it's, they've already started with this whole, like, the sort of Dan Wootons from GB News of this world and Darren Grimes is an Alan, really. Oh, it's a Remainer plot. It's a lefty plot. It's all those kind of like dog whistle things that get their base riled up and see it as a threat to the thing that they're part of, which is somehow anti-establishment. When Boris Johnson himself is about 3 shags away from the Queen, or well, the King now. Not legit, look into it. He's related to, like, I think it was Charles I. He did it, that Who Do You Think You Are program, and he's blue-blooded as hell, man. his real name's Alexander de Pfeffel, blah, 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 blah. But people just want this Boris thing and just calling him Boris. His name's Johnson, same as everybody else, like that black square. So here we are. Crazy, yeah. Lush, but crazy. Other things that have come up, just things that like are just beautiful curios that will hopefully stand the test of time. This is an audience member from last night, Question Time, but watch what the guy mouths sat in front of him.
Feeling about wanting someone who can command the majority in the Commons, and Jess says something about them needing a mandate, a proper mandate. There's only one man who's got both of those boxes ticked, and that's Boris Johnson. I think it's time for him to come back.
Bollocks. It's another one of those very English sort of curio things that we're talking about, isn't it? Obviously, as well, people stand up and vocally wanting Boris Johnson back, which is no surprise, really, because he's the kind of figurehead of a really dodgy and toxic faction that has really been instrumental in ruining the country. Also, what was so pop up there was the panel, right, on Question Time, and I'll be showing another clip from Camilla Cavendish later. But there's your Jess Phillips. Remember Jess Phillips? Like, she's trying to, like, paint herself into something that she's not, but a bit more on that in a bit. But the panel there, right, you couldn't get a Rizzler paper between their views. We've got Tory journalist, Boris Johnson's actual sister. They've got a bloody season ticket for the telly at the minute. The fees they're picking up. Tony Danker from the CBI, Tory. Graham Stewart, Conservatives, Tory. Jess Phillips, right-wing Tory, masquerading as Labour. Geek good friends with William Rees... Jacob Rees-Mogg. William was his dad. That's how old I am. Here's your Jess Phillips, yeah? See that big smile there? She didn't realise she was on camera during the 2000 and... during the election where Labour got absolutely destroyed, and she was laughing and loving it and enjoying it and thinking it was great and fantastic. And then the cameras come on, she's like, oh yeah, you know, like really sort of devastated. And that's who you're dealing with, man. She's duplicitous like the rest of them. And I cannot be doing with this revisionism of Labour figures, because people are scared and they've got no other options, and it's like, oh, I guess we'll vote Labour then. If you want to know more about them, there's an absolute raft of content that was produced on why the Labour Party is not the answer, but there's not time for it in this particular part, but we'll touch on a bit at the back end of the show. So what else do we have? Stanley Johnson, his actual dad. We've seen his actual sister. He has his father.
Dad, Stanley, and see what he makes of it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's no doubt politics in this country is a complete and utter farce right now.
Do you know why it's a complete and utter farce, mate? Because you're inviting his bloody family on. Who are you going to invite on next? King Charles I. You're going to dig him up and get in, like, or do a Ouija board just to see what another one of his family members thinks. You're going to start running out of ones that are alive, man. What the fuck is his fucking sister and his father getting up on here? What are they going to just advocate for anybody else? Are they? I mean, I know Rachel Johnson said things in the past, but why? No, you're just not even trying to hide the bias anymore. Look at the state of that panel on Question Time last night. We say this all the time, and it comes back to Noam Chomsky's acceptable like range of opinion. Within that, it'll be lively and whatever, but it'll keep the status quo. And regular normal people like ourselves, others, will just be well outside of that. And it's a club that nobody's invited to, apart from like maybe once in a while you'll get like Darren McGarvey on or something like that, and he'll say some cool shit and Piers Morgan will slag him off, and then that's not him invited for another 6 months, a year. So Stanley Johnson, Jesus God. This from Question Time last night as well, and it's something to be abundantly aware of, right? But before I play that video, I'm going to take your comments, because I bet you there's some belters. Right, so Ryan Bate is saying, bit late to the party, but we all reckon Boris has got this in the bag. I think it'll happen, But at the same time, I think it'll go down to the wire. And I'll do a bit of a breakdown of how it works and how the leadership election works in a bit. Ruth Davidson saying, how long is the committee even expected to last? So he'll be away from running the country for days at a time. Well, this is it. Maybe she should get on to your namesake and ask her. Jacqueline Hammonds is saying, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say there'd been a concentrated effort by Johnson's cronies to get him back into power even before he resigned. Well, if anybody would like to know more about that, go back to the podcast I did, Is Boris Johnson Coming Back? It's on all platforms. Help yourselves. Steve Jackson's in the house. Hello, mate. Ruth Davidson, I imagine in reality it will be a whitewash. I think you might be right, sir. I think you might be right. Dave Slaz, stop and slap all the Tories. Shouts to Nick Diaz and his brother Nate, keeping it real for the 209. Hey, I tell you what it is. You get it all here. Politics, fighting, it's all happening for you. Michael Downes is in. Lovely to see you, pal. If Johnson is returned, that won't end the chaos. There is no Brexit or COVID to him to take credit for. It will get worse. I mean, it's about constant chaos. I mean, if you look back at the Linton Crosby Dead Cap type podcasts we did a couple of months ago, it's about keeping on my toes, it's about keeping the chaos going, because it's virtually impossible to keep abreast of everything that's happening. I think we're probably going to have to start doing like an additional show a week at the minute just to go, well, here's everything else that's going on. But the thing is with this, it will consume everything because there's so many outside threats too. If you're asking for what I think will happen, right, I think you'll get to the members because there's a 100 MP threshold. It's starting to stall, but I'll give you the updated details. And I think we'll do that at the end of the show. He's starting to stall on that, but he needs 100. So what that means after that is, right, he goes to the membership. And they overwhelmingly want him back. And they're also doing like an online voting thing. But I'll tell you why that's like an utter open goal for any of their opponents going forward. Well, any of them that want to support people who strike, that is. What else do I have? Right. This is from Question Time last night, right? And it's about... it's about the fact that, like, it's hard to even believe this. It's about how easy it is, excuse me, to vote in this. So check this out.
Everyone knew what Liz Truss was like. All the MPs who had worked with her knew what she was like. She set out her platform in the contest. And Rishi Sunak stood against her and he said, this is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. These are your tax cuts are delusional. And she was not put in by the MPs. She was put in by a handful of Conservative Party members, and you know, some of you may be in this room. A handful of people in this country were given the opportunity to choose the next Prime Minister. And I don't think we should go through that again. The Conservatives are now apparently intending to do the same thing again, but within a week. And there's a company called Tortoise Media. And it has signed up, as Conservative Party members, a tortoise, an American, and a Ukrainian. And they pay £25 each. And that tortoise and that Ukrainian and that American, who are all fictitious, by the way, are now eligible to vote in this election. So what does that say about our democracy? We need a general election because we cannot afford to go through that again.
So this is a key point from, like, Tory 5 on the panel last night, Camilla, whatever her name is. It's apparently so easy to sign up as a Conservative Party member that, well, looking back to, a few years ago, one of the heads of the security agencies, MI6 or whatever it was, did a press conference and said they were worried that, like, outside actors, like states, whatever, were trying to subvert democracy in the UK. Well, it's not that bloody hard, is it? And also, how easy is it to sign up as a member and immediately get a vote? If that's the case, then God knows. And if that's the case, and Johnson gets to the members, walk over. He'll walk it. Allegedly. I would never insinuate anything under law, of course. mad, this, innit? Mad. And I've just got a notification popped up. We're having trouble streaming to Facebook. This may be an issue at Facebook's end. Possibly the stream was ended, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, don't know what's happened there. Never happened before. But we'll crack on, eh? And this is why you should definitely watch it on YouTube. So that's the voting stuff. Before we go on, move on to the sort of like next bit, I'll take some of your comments. So David is saying, I agree Boris will get 100 MPs, at which point the other candidates will fold, as they know the members will support Boris. So Boris back by Wednesday. It's actually next Friday, David. That's when it'll all be done and dusted, I think. But unless you've seen anything new, then who knows? Dave Slazer is saying YouTube is still going. Spot on, mate. Nice one. And what else we got? Ryan is saying, I agree once it goes to the members, he will walk it. Sadly, there was a snippet on some news channel here last night, Northwest, and folks were openly saying, I'm not even a Tory, but Boris needs to win. Mad. I've got somebody in from Twitch. Hello, Jackoff. Twitch, first time. If you didn't know what a Twitch account would do, it's a nice one. One from the YouTube, Kevin Taff. I've been watching the Labour file slowly, waited to drain for one sitting. I agree, mate. It took us about a week to get through it. It's heavy going and it's really upsetting. I don't know who I'd vote for, but it wouldn't be Labour. Still want a G, though. What is the best outcome? At this point, pal, I have no idea. No idea at all. All I can do is present it and pull this stuff together. Somebody was saying, what's your solutions to us? They say it all the time. And I just like, you know, solutions come when we acknowledge reality. So I'm trying to do the acknowledge reality bit by doing this every day. So there you go. So anyway, could somebody go on the Facebook page and just tell us if it's still there? Because we've had some problems again. So that would be really helpful. Like, cheers. Okay, so let's go further on here. Some of you may or may not know, Krishnan Gurumurthy from Channel 4 News, the presenter, has been stood down for a week. And the reason he has was after he did an interview with Steve Baker, he didn't realise he had a hot mic, and this happened.
Thanks a lot, Steve. It wasn't a stupid question, Steve. You know it. I'm very happy to go up against you on trust any day. What a cunt.
There's Krishnan there calling Steve Baker of the ERG a cunt. Lovely. So Krishnan Gurumurthy tweeted out, after a robust interview with Steve Baker MP, I used a very offensive word in an unguarded moment off air. While it was not broadcast, that word in any context is beneath the standards I set myself and I apologise unreservedly. I've reached out to Steve Baker to say I'm sorry. Steve Baker replies, I appreciate your apology, thank you. Somebody replies, you are a cunt, mind, which I thought was just the most... I was buckled, man. Buckled seeing that. Just going to check the comments just to see if the Facebook page is still there. No live on FB. No, FB's not working. Could you check to see if the actual page itself is still searchable and it exists? Ah, cool. Alistair Keith is saying FB page up, link to YouTube working. Nice one. I'll work out what the hell that's all about afterwards, but God knows what's occurred here. Right then. Thanks for letting us know that, everybody. Unbelievable, isn't it? So let's look at Labour. Let's move on to that. So what we have here is, it's a little plug quickly. I'm not voting Labour. At the minute, I'm not voting anybody. I've took a tremendous amount of shit for that, but I will not give the system a back rub, which needs changing. There's several bits that I've put together since the Labour files came out just about why I feel Labour, when they get in, will be a nightmare. If you want to check out more, I did one called Labour and NHS Privatisation a few days ago. So go and check that one out. Here's Baldrick, aka Tony Robinson. I urge all those who left Labour because of the shenanigans a few years ago to rejoin right now and help us become the party of government the nation so desperately needs. Listen, Baldrick, you did absolutely everything you could to stop a Labour election victory. Well, you cast shade left and right. And also, as an aside, badly drawn boy like that, yeah, cancelled now. Get your hat off. And I've also took the liberty of going and stealing his hat off the washing line. Absolutely. What are you on about, man? Just fuck off, Baldrick. For people who don't know, there's your Baldrick there. Look at all the different Baldricks. None of them as big a clown as the person who plays them. That'll be Tony Robinson. Fuck Time Team as well. Anyway, here's Rachel Weir's mouth of the Mirror. General election now, it says on the front of the Mirror. For what? I mean, obviously, I've done a hell of a lot of content on that. I'll put it together in a playlist over the weekend and share that for you if you want. You can just play all, and it'd be easy if you want to do that. For what? You tell me what the solution is, please. Please. Here's a meme which illustrates it. This is Clement Attlee, who basically after the war brought in the NHS. And it says at the top, if he was here now. Yes, I did promise to build a national health service, but the war increased borrowing and we need fiscal responsibility. Why am I saying this, right? Here's Keir Starmer at the TUC conference just the other day.
Talk about economic stability. I want to be frank. The damage the Tories have done to our finances and our public services means things are going to be really tough now and during my Labour government. We cannot take any risks with the public finances. We have to restore economic stability, be the party of sound money. You've all seen the damage that can be done from fiscal irresponsibility. When you lose control of the economy, as the Tories have done, you lose the ability to do anything. And working people pay the price.
So he's saying there, and it's like I did a bit the other day on Labour getting their excuses in early. Here's some further excuses. They're not going to do anything. It's status quo time, and they're going to use all of those blame lines and all of those things that Clement Attlee could have said after the war. Like, because the situation fiscally, at least, is relatively similar. They're not going to do shit for us. Like, as I said earlier, we can come up with solutions when we acknowledge reality. This is a complete nut of blag. The thing is, just as an aside with Boris Johnson, the Labour Party know that he's the only person who can possibly turn this around because of just the character that he is. And he is a talented Machiavellian politician. It's important to not just have him framed up as a total clown. So here we go. Well, it'll be really interesting what comes next, won't it? Things I want to remind people of as well. Labour to Win, who's basically the right-wing version of Momentum within the Labour Party. Why the Labour Party is a right-wing, I don't know. They deleted this, though. And this was, I can't remember his actual, I think he's on the NEC anyway, or possibly an MP. The job isn't finished yet. We need to follow through and shut the door on the hard left, where it can never be open again. Look, anything to the right of Genghis Khan at the minute appears to be called hard left. The Labour Party use the same attack lines as the Tories, you know, lefties, blah, fucking blah. It's ridiculous, ridiculous. But they deleted that. So let's never forget what they're saying. Other things which I'm probably going to get into a bit of bother about, right? You'll have people like Owen Jones, right? This guy. He's been making all this content recently. Oh, Keir Starmer's bad. Last few months, when it's safe to do so. Let's see how he was going on before the elections and when Corbyn was in. Just have a look for yourselves. He's calling, surely we need everyone on the streets this Saturday demanding a general election. And you will be telling people to vote Labour. You will. You can do all this Ford Report stuff, all this like Jess Phillips interview stuff, do all the shit you want. You're still going to tell people to vote for these fucking arseholes. How about like recognizing reality, coming up with solutions, but you can't because you work for The Guardian and you don't want to lose your grace and favor position. Here's another one, Ash Sarkar. If you want a general election, get out in the streets and demand one. That I've noticed with Navarra, right? And Navarra, I've got time for. They've done some really good work, really enjoyed it over the COVID period. Lockdowns period, more to the point, COVID's still happening, get it right. Like the Bastani was doing something the other day as well around like, oh, you know, will it move forward? You've also got people within like Lindsay German, who's part of the People's Assembly and other things, Stop the War, like coming up with some utter bullshit around like how, oh, well, it's a democratic right and we should and it'll end the Tories for 10 years and all of that. Fuck off, man. All of this shit, you see it like with certain key figures in the left, like all roads lead back to Labour with these people because guess what? It might look like they're sort of radicals or whatever, but when it really, really, really comes down to it, like now, where are they at? And look, they're saying the same thing as bloody Alistair Campbell. Alistair Campbell, who should have been on trial in the bloody Hague. General election now or take to the streets. 5 prime ministers in 6 years, just fuck off all of them. Fucking, I just say the same old shit. Revisionism's interesting, isn't it? Revisionism, like going back to the Blair period, is terrible at the minute. So I've pulled this clip out from 2005. People talk about how things were better and all this. And in a lot of ways, they were because they acknowledged the Tories have made things far worse over the last 12 years. But it wasn't this whole sort of Shangri-La that people were talking about. Here's Blair getting grilled by the Question Time audience in 2005 about waiting times in the NHS.
Yes,
you're actually putting forward targets on practically everything for timescales. I can't get an appointment with my local GP unless it's made within 48 hours. I can't make it 3 days or 4 days hence. I was told that's because they can meet their target that everybody gets it within 48 hours. Why?
Well, I'm absolutely astonished at that. I mean, look, let's be sensible about this. I don't know about this individual case, obviously, but I would be absolutely astonished if you're saying to your GP, I don't need to see you for 4 days, and he's insisting he sees you in two.
The doctor is asking you to come back in a week. You can't make the appointment in a week because you're only allowed to make it 48 hours beforehand. This is my son's appointment last week. You have to sit on the phone for 3 hours in the morning trying to get an appointment because you're not allowed to ask for the appointment before that, because by making it 48 hours beforehand, they're meeting the government target.
Is this news to you?
I have to say, that is news to me, that doctors are insisting that you have to come within the 48 hours.
Yeah, a doctor's appointment is to turn up outside the appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning waiting for
you. The whole purpose of this was that people used not to be able, to get an appointment with the GP within the 48 hours. Now, obviously, it shouldn't work in that way, because that would be absurd.
Get it at all, unless it is within the 48 hours.
Well, anybody else have this experience? What?
24 hours at my
GP. Just explain it to the Prime Minister.
If I ring up and ask, say, on the Monday for an appointment on the Wednesday, no, you'll have to ring back Wednesday morning. Yeah. That's right.
Well, but there's quite a lot of people have said
this. Yeah, no, I understand that, but surely they're not saying to you that you have to have it quicker than you wanted. Well, I have to...
No, they're saying you can't make the appointment until you're within the time frame that allows it to be 48 hours.
Well, but all I can say is...
So you can't make it today, you come back and make it on Wednesday.
Even if the doctor asked you to come back a week later.
So there you go. I remember that era. And I can only speak for the northeast of England. I remember how hard it was to get doctor's appointments. Turns out it was all a bit of a fiddled old system. And Blair's claiming there, and I don't know either way, that I don't know about this and whatever, but however. Politicians, can you trust them? Anyway, I think that's about it, really. I mean, geez, man. Brilliant, though, isn't it? Interesting. But what we shouldn't be forgetting here, right, is that there's no answers. There's no answers which are commensurate with the needs of like the millions of people living in poverty and the 10 million more, according to Martin Lewis, that's been dragged in this autumn. And I mean, that may be an underestimate. There's a huge amount of the country. I mean, in Newcastle, off the top of my head, 40-odd% of children are living in poverty. I mean, obviously, these people will just go out and change the way they collate statistics. Like, but there you go. It's what they do, isn't it? Take some of your comments first, and then, actually, no, we'll do this first. Check this out, right? I pulled this up. I noticed Tony Blair's trending because people are searching around for answers, and that's why I put the clip in. So This is from Stats for Lefties. Tony Blair's a net approval rating of minus 29, according to YouGov ratings dated July-September 2022, which are the latest ones. This is worse than the current net approval of both Jeremy Corbyn at minus 27 and Boris Johnson at minus 21. And this is a quote tweet from one of many tweets about, not going to lie, I would love this guy to come back to frontline politics, just head and shoulders above in nearly every way, the vision, intellect, and connection with voters far outweighs his negatives. He's a polished performer. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say he isn't, but he is lucky that he isn't in jail. When I say lucky, I mean, he's part of the establishment, so, you know, was he ever going to? Alistair Campbell, he's like absolute shitbag sidekick. Currently, right, does a podcast, and it's to this acceptable range of lively opinion shit, the Chomsky thing. Him and Rory Stewart, check his voting record, by the way, have the number one podcast, all categories, in Britain. And I'm sure it is all lively and whatever, but it's the status quo talk. It's what they want you to think, and they're not going to be talking about all of this other stuff. Everything that we're doing is evidenced, as you can see, and always will be. Crazy, though, isn't it, the way this is going? So, anyway, a few comments before we get off. What we got. By the way, I checked the Facebook page and it's still there and I posted something. So if you just let us know if you could see it, that would be really good. What have we got here? Joanne, going green for the sake of some going somewhere. I thought about it and then basically in the last week, which has probably got missed, the Scottish Greens, they passed a motion to have a conscious uncoupling, like, between them and the English Green Party. The correct terminology was something, they had some like formalised agreement, which they've paused, I don't know, whatever it was. They've done that because of the trans rights issues. I haven't got time to talk about that today, but have a look further into it. Stephen Jackson is saying, Green Party have UBI, proportional representation, and a reduced working week. Can't confirm if they support the four-day working week, but their policies do seem to offer a sense of change. Shame they only have one MP. I understand, I do. Under proportional representation, they would have that, but let's have it right. If Labour do get a working majority, do you honestly think, after they've won a first past the post election, after Keir Starmer has said the day after the Labour Party conference passed the proportional representation vote, that Labour are going to do that? The only way I could see that happening is if Lib Dems, Greens, like, put it as part of a coalition agreement. But we've seen with the Lib Dems, they can't be trusted either. They got walked over by Cameron's Tories and coalition. And then there was that AV vote, which was a compromise from PR. Nobody wanted the alternative voting system, but I voted for it at the time. I can't remember. I don't think there was a big turnout, though. And you know what will happen. The commentariat will just come out and be like, we've already tried the vote. Why do we want to change it? And Starmer said after the Labour Party conference cleared this, no, we're not doing it. And there's, like, from the conference before, there's lots of key policies that he turned around and says, no, we're not doing it. So it's not going to happen, is it? The Labour Party may get in. If they fight the election against Boris Johnson, which I think they might, unlikely to win unless they get rid of Starmer and bring Blair back, which is not beyond the realms of possibility, really, is it? Because anything can happen these days, as we've seen. So that's about all we've got time for. Massive show, and it's been a lot to cover, but obviously I wanted to wait and not record yesterday, not put shit out, because it would have just been a hangout, really, which, you know, we'll do from time to time as well, but mad stuff occurs, mad stuff is going on. Before we go, though, please do sign up to the Cow Daily mailing list. Link is in the description. If we do end up losing Facebook pages and things or whatever, because, look, we're putting spicy stuff out, aren't we? So let's have it right. We know we've been targeted in the past, don't we? Mailing list is where you'll always find we're. Well, I say always, so they can get rid of them too. But for the meantime, sign up to the Cow Daily mailing list. Literally put your email address in, press return. That's you, golden. And that's the emergency bat signal. please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. They can make a regular contribution to our work. Also, link in the description for PayPal, where you can make a one-off contribution, which we always appreciated. Really does bloody help keep the lights on, quite literally. So lovely. Thanks for being here, everybody. Just really love being here with us, like on the daily. I hope you have a great weekend and keep your notification bells on and stuff, because if anything mental happens, we may well go live. So before we do go, though, very last thing, let's have a look at, oh, where's it gone? No, it hasn't. Right. I looked at the Guido Fawkes parliamentary thing earlier, and they're doing a tracker which tells you who's in the lead on in terms of MP backers. So they've got a spreadsheet there. You can go and see it for yourself if you wish. So I've just refreshed that page. Let's see what it is they're saying. Ben Wallace has pulled out. Ben Wallace has pulled out. What else we got? Leadership race, your country needs you. They seem to have moved, sadly, the actual thing. So anyway, for the purpose of being able to move on, it was 48 each, I believe. I think it was neck and neck, Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the 100 threshold and who gets to go forward to a member's vote. See us on Monday, if not before, good people. Much love to all, as ever. Love yous. Bye-bye.